We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running once again here on the Refresh radio program. I tell you what, I'll be off and you do the running. How's that sound? Anyway, welcome to the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we're going to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, talking about the search for truth. And, you know, everybody is looking for truth, and they're looking for it in all sorts of different places. Some people are seeking truth as far as facts and science and all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, I know some real life examples from scientific history where things that were proven to be true scientifically ended up being absolutely false. And so I always got a kick out of some of those stories. But there are people that are searching in that way. But I'm here to tell you that facts are not exclusionary of the Word of God. True facts are always going to line up, and they're going to support the Word of God. Some people are searching for feelings and emotions. Some people are searching in all the wrong places. You know, there's an old country song that said, looking for love in all the wrong. Some people are searching for truth and meaning and purpose, and they're looking in all the wrong places. We want to help you here on the Refresh radio program in your search for truth, and we want to point you to the Word of God, because God's Word is truth. Jesus is truth. And so today we're going to go to James chapter 1 again. James chapter 1, and I'm going to go back and read verse number 16. By the way, I want to take just a moment to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We would love to have you come and experience Merritt Assembly of God. It's not the largest church in town, but if you're looking for a church that wants to be a blessing, not just in a financial or a tangible way like that, but to be a blessing spiritually, to be a blessing and help you to grow in your relationship with God, to be a better husband, better wife, better parent. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. There's room for you. I promise you this, if you come in, You're going to experience the love of God at Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. And please, when you do, would you make sure that I get an opportunity to have a conversation with you? Sunday mornings, that sometimes that's the only time I see people all week, so there may be a few people that are waiting to see me, but I would love to have a conversation with you. And I had a family from our church. They were great family, board member, ran the sound, great active family, and they moved to a different area. And I contacted a pastor over there and said, look, these people are attending your church. You need to meet these people. These are cream of the crop type people. And I think that they were there for 3 or 4 years, and you know, they never ever got to meet the pastor. And I don't want to be, you know, a person that is unapproachable or you can't get to me. And so if you're looking for a church where you can have personal relationships with people, we would love to have you come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. That's who we are. I am a people person. I'm an introverted people person, if that makes sense. But that's who I am. I love people, and would love to have a conversation with you at Merit Assembly of God. Come and visit us, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We're going to go back to James chapter 1 this morning, verse number 16. It says this: "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer will be a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." So yesterday I kind of gave a title to a portion of the passage we were discussing, and that is, what is the will of God? And the answer is, you are meant to be a child of God. You are meant by God. You are designed by God so that he could forgive you of your sins, be the Lord of your life, and make you into a glorious masterpiece of his grace and a demonstration of his power. That's pretty good. You might want to hit rewind on that to go back and listen to that again. that's who you are meant to be. You are the will of God. Not in your current state, but he wants to bring you forth by the word. And so every time we hear the word, it should be drawing us to Jesus, drawing us to be more like Jesus. So if I were going to give a title to today's program, at least a portion of it, it would be Hurry Up and Slow Down. Hurry up and slow down. I don't know if you have ever been driving on the interstate and found that there were always people in a hurry. And, you know, there was a person that was holding things up, and so you would hurry up and get past them so you could slow back down to the speed that you were comfortable with, and you could get that person off of your rear bumper that was trying to give you a colonoscopy. That's a great example of hurrying up to slow down. So verse number 19 is where we're going to pick up this morning. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren," that means you, that means me, "let every man be swift to hear." That's the hurry up portion. God longs to speak to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his creation. He speaks to us through his son. He speaks to us through the demonstrations of the Spirit of God and the grace that God has given in each one of our lives. When we come together, God wants to speak into our lives. Okay? In the wilderness wanderings, the children of Israel were there. There was Moses and the thunderings and lightnings on the mountain, and the people were terrified. And so they wanted to send Moses. And Moses comes down and he talks to him and he said, "This is amazing. We have learned today that you can hear from God, you can see God, you can experience God, and it won't kill you." Now, Because of that, we want you to go and hear what God has to say because we don't want to die. Samson's father thought that he was going to die because he had an encounter with God. A lot of times people struggle with the real truth of what God speaking to us is all about. He doesn't want us to realize that, well, you can have an encounter with God and it's not going to kill you. You know, that's kind of the way a lot of things happen in society. I was in a college class one time, and we were discussing something, and I said, well, what is the purpose of that? And the teacher responded, well, what could it hurt? Well, it might not hurt, but will it help? You know, so I'm okay with experimentation in certain aspects of trying to get better, you know, as far as medicine and things of that nature. But I want to know, is it going to help? So, you know, I had a conversation with a person one time. And they said, well, if you do this, it will provide a temporary relief, but it's not going to provide a lasting relief. So I was like, well, what's a lasting relief? And here's what I basically concluded, that the only way in that particular situation that there's going to be permanent relief is if there's going to be a healing from heaven. And so guess what I'm believing for? That there's going to be a healing from heaven. So I have no problem believing. I utilize the medical sciences. I recognize that God has given them great gifts. You know, things, the ability to do things that I don't know how to do. Praise God for that. But just where I had limitations and there were people beyond those limitations who had skills to accomplish things I could never accomplish, God also is much farther along than people of the medical sciences to be able to do things that they don't know how to do. So I have no problem utilizing both. And where men have limitations and inadequacies and insufficiencies, I'm going to trust God for beyond that. So then, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear. Here's what God really wanted them to know. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what God really wanted them. Not that you could hear from God and it wouldn't kill you, but that if you don't hear from God, you'll never experience true life. There are a lot of people going through the motions, but they're not truly living. There is a difference between existing and living. And I want to encourage you. I want to refresh your thinking, if you will, and bring you to the word mindset of thinking. And that is this: live for Jesus. Live for him. Don't just exist. Don't just get up and say, well, at least I've got three meals and a cot. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about God, like we talked about yesterday. You brought me forth by your word to be a first fruit of your creation. And so I want to live for the glory of God. So the way to do that is to be swift to hear. Be swift to hear. I want you to know that it is important to hurry up and hear what God has to say. It is also important that when you are in a conversation with people, that it is important for you to hear them. People want to be heard. They want to be heard. And you've got to hear beyond what they say. Some, you know, in reading, people will say, well, you've got to read between the lines. And sometimes you've got to hear what people are saying. And sometimes they're like me. They're saying something, but they may not have the exact word that comes to their mind at that particular time that's going to fully express what they are trying to communicate. So if you and I will hear from God, and we will hear what is going on in the lives of people. The thing that we will hear from God is the solution or a way to bless or a way to help the person that we're in contact with. Sometimes, if we will listen, God will say, hey, you can point that person to this contact that you've got over here because they're going to be able to help them in that area. So be swift to hear. Okay. So then and by the way, that's so then, there's a footnote down there that says, know this, or you already know this, that you and I, every person, every man, woman, and child is got to be swift to hear. The second thing is slow to speak. When I go into a new environment, I do not go there to speak. I don't go there to spill my guts or things like that unless I've been invited there for that purpose. My original intent for going to a new group or thing like that is to build relationship and to earn the right to be able to speak. So one of the things that I have observed through the years, and I've interacted with lots and lots and lots of people, is that sometimes people love to talk. So instead of being swift to hear, slow to speak, they are quick to speak, and they speak quickly, and they speak long. And sometimes if you begin to have a conversation with them, if you're able to have a conversation and you start getting close to a protected area of their heart, if you will, they will start speaking even quicker. And it's like, wow, I didn't know that a person could speak that long without taking a breath. And what I realized is that many people use the gift of language and rapid speaking and louder speaking as a defense mechanism. So I want to encourage you that as God's word is bringing you forth as a demonstration of his grace, that be quick to listen and don't speak. Don't, you know, just automatically try and provide the solution. Okay, this is going to be a message for guys here. And ladies, you can get ready to say amen. A lot of times, conversations between men and women go entirely differently. The techniques are entirely different. And so, you know, there's an old story about the number of words that men speak per day and that the women speak twice as many words as a day. And there was a husband that came home and he said, did you know that you talk twice as much as I do on any given day, according to this study? And she said, well, if I didn't have to repeat myself all day long, I probably wouldn't have to speak that many words. And it's like, boom, boom, tsh. But here's what I want to say about speaking. Sometimes people are listening in a conversation and they want the conversation to hurry up and end. And so they're looking to solve a problem. So a lot of times in discussions between husbands and wives, wives are having a conversation and they're describing the problems, but the husband is listening, trying to solve the problem instead of just realizing that the wife is wanting to just have a conversation. She's looking to be heard. She's not looking for a resolution to the problem. She's just looking for someone to listen. So husbands, let's be good listeners. Let's be good listeners. And the third thing here, hurry up and slow down. The next part says, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. There are way too many people in 2021 that have anger issues. Everybody's going around angry and mad and frustrated and venting and rioting and looting and brawling and just mad at everybody. I don't know if you have ever had nights like I have where you have a bad dream and you wake up the next morning, and because of the dream and the frustrations of the dream, you get up and you're not in the same normal mindset that you normally are. And if you're not careful, you start taking it out on people who had nothing, have done absolutely nothing wrong. You know, you were in such a good mood last night. Why are you so angry this morning? And then you stop to realize, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm still living the nightmare. Don't relive the nightmare. Don't make real people pay with your hostility and your anger and your wrath when they didn't do anything. And again, many times people take out their frustrations from work or at, you know, outside the home, and they bring that wrath and that anger home, and they take that anger out on the people at home instead of dealing with the real source of the problem. Don't do that. Don't do that. Being angry about, you know, we can talk about righteous indignation. And I will tell you this, that you and I cannot solve the world's problems just by getting angry about it. Okay? We can be frustrated. We can be indignant. We can have our demeanor changed, but really the way that transformation takes place is when we are going through that, we say, you know what? I need to go spend some time with Jesus right now. Don't be afraid. It is perfectly okay when you get home from work tonight, if you've had a rough day, to distance yourself and say, I'm going to go in here. There are some things that I need to talk to Jesus about. And when I come out, I'm gonna be the husband or the wife or the parent that I'm supposed to be. Now, some people don't have that luxury. I mean, they get home and there's dinner to cook and all that sort of stuff. That's what happens. I come home, I mow the grass, I put up laundry, pay bills and things like that. My wife comes home from work and she has to cook and things like that. So where does she get the opportunity? Well, she drives about 25 or 30 minutes to get to work. And that time frame she uses to talk to God to make sure that when she comes home, and I'm not saying that she's always angry at work or anything like that. Please understand, I'm not talking about an everyday occurrence. I'm talking about a general, how do I handle this situation when I am really frustrated? How take the time that you've been given. Our society is generally very nervous around silence. And yet the Bible talks about that it is in the stillness that we have the opportunity to really know God. And so you find sophisticated stereo systems in cars, and I've got those. You've got people who listen to stuff on their phones all the time. They've got little earbuds that are sticking in their ears all the time, because they're looking for something to fill that space. Many times I want you to know that those distractions are designed by the enemy to prevent us from hearing God. I knew a person one time that they kept a device, a little digital voice recorder, that when they were driving down the road and they would be praying and talking to God, that when God spoke something to them, they would reach over and they would grab that digital voice recorder and they would speak into that device. Because if you're not careful, you can just as quickly forget what you've heard as how quickly out of nowhere God spoke to you. We need to be faithful stewards of the words that God gives to us. So the goal in being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What is the objective of hurry up and slow down? What does that mean for your life? What does it mean for my life? And the ultimate goal is for us to experience, to conduct our lives in such a way that the righteousness of God becomes a manifest reality in our life. Say, I don't know. You know, I come from generations of people who, you know, they were angry. They were angry at the world. You know, something happened and bam, they were just set off. I know people that something bad happened and they were pretty much angry for the rest of their life and deprived themselves of decades of what could have been glorious, glorious encounters and glorious relationships built on a godly foundation where people were producing righteousness. Okay? Now, I'm talking about people who damaged others for generations. So if that's you, if you say, "You know what? My family's had an anger problem for generations. I want to speak this word of hope to you today. Jesus is the chain breaker." And you can ask him to forgive you, destroy that stronghold in your life so that your future generations are not bound by the same stronghold that you were. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hurry up and slow down. Hurry up and hear what God has to say. Slow down and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say, and that he will cause you to speak those words not in wrath, but in love. Speak the truth in love. That's your assignment for today. Hurry up and slow down. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Eternity in the palm of your hand.